Welcome to day 53 of my Everyday Bible. We have finally come to the last two chapters in the book of Leviticus. So today we will be reading from the Amplified Bible, Leviticus chapter 26 and 27. So beginning at Leviticus 26 and verse 1. You shall make for yourselves no idols, nor shall you erect a graven image, pillar, or obelisk, nor shall you place any figured stone in your land, to which or on which to bow down, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field yield their fruit. And your threshing time shall reach to the vintage, and the vintage time shall reach to the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land securely. I will give peace in the land. You shall lie down, and none shall fill you with dread or make you afraid. And I will clear ferocious wild beasts out of the land, and no sword shall go through your land. And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will be leaning toward you with favor and regard for you, rendering you fruitful, multiplying you, and establishing you, and ratifying my covenant with you. And you shall eat the abundant old store of produce long kept, and clear out the old to make room for the new. I will set my dwelling in and among you, and my soul shall not despise or reject or separate itself from you. I will walk in and with and among you, and will be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should no more be slaves. I have broken the bars of your yoke, and made you walk erect as free men. But if you will not hearken to me, and will not do all these commandments, and if you spurn and despise my statutes, and if your soul despises and rejects my ordinances, so that you will not do all my commandments, but break my covenant, I will do this. I will appoint over you sudden terror, trembling, trouble, even consumption and fever that consume and waste the eyes and make the physical life pine away. You shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. I, the Lord, will set my face against you, and you shall be defeated and slain before your enemies. They who hate you shall rule over you. You shall flee when no one pursues you. And if in spite of all this, you still will not listen and be obedient to me, then I will chastise and discipline you seven times more for your sins. And I will break and humble your pride and your power. And I will make your heavens as iron, yielding no answer, no blessing, no rain, and your earth as sterile as brass. And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield its increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. If you walk contrary to me, and you will not heed me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. I will loose the wild beasts of the fields among you, which shall rob you of your children, destroy your livestock, and make you few, so that your roads shall be deserted and desolate. If by these means you are not turned to me, but determined to walk contrary to me, I also will walk contrary to you, and I will smite you seven times for your sins. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall execute the vengeance for the breaking of my covenant, and you shall be gathered together within your cities. And I will send the pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hands of the enemy. When I break your staff of bread and cut off your supply of food, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall ration your bread and deliver it again by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. And if, in spite of all this, you will not listen and give heed to me, but walk contrary to me, then I will walk contrary to you in wrath, and I will also chastise you 7 times for your sins. You shall eat the flesh of your sons and of your daughters. I will destroy your high places devoted to idolatrous worship and cut down your sun images and throw your dead bodies upon the wrecked bodies of your idols. And my soul shall abhor you with deep and unutterable loathing. I will lay waste your cities, bring your sanctuaries to desolation, and I will not smell the fragrance of your sweet and soothing odors of offerings made by fire. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies who dwell in it shall be astonished at it. I will scatter you among the nations and draw out your enemy's sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities a waste. Then shall the land of Israel have the opportunity to enjoy its Sabbaths as long as it lies desolate and you are in your enemy's land. Then shall the land rest to enjoy and receive payments for its Sabbaths divinely ordered for it. As long as it lies desolate and waste, it shall have rest, the rest it did not have in your Sabbaths when you dwelt upon it. As for those who are left of you, I will send dejection, lack of courage, a faintness into their hearts and the lands of their enemies. The sound of a driven leaf shall put them to hasty and tumultuous flight, and they shall flee as if from the sword and fall when no one pursues them. They shall stumble over one another as if to escape a sword when no one pursues them, and you shall have no power to stand before your enemies. You shall perish among the nations. The land of your enemies shall eat you up. And those of you who are left shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemies' land. Also in the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away like them. But if they confess their own and their father's iniquity in their treachery, which they committed against me, and also that because they walk contrary to me, I also walk contrary to them and brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts are humbled, and they then accept the punishment for their iniquity, then will I earnestly remember my covenant with Jacob, my covenant with Isaac, my covenant with Abraham, and earnestly remember the land. But the land shall be left behind them, and shall enjoy its Sabbaths while it lies desolate without them, and they shall accept the punishment for their sins, and make amends because they despised and rejected my ordinances, and their souls scorned and rejected my statutes. And yet, for all that, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not spurn and cast them away, neither will I despise and abhor them to destroy them utterly and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But I will, for their sake, earnestly remember the covenant with their forefathers, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. These are the statutes, ordinances, and laws which the Lord made between him and the Israelites on Mount Sinai through Moses. Chapter 27. And the Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, when a man shall make a special vow of persons to the Lord at your valuation, then your valuation of a male from 20 years old to 60 years old shall be 50 shekels of silver, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. And if the person is a female, your valuation shall be 30 shekels. And if the person is from 5 years old up to 20 years old, then your valuation shall be for the male 20 shekels and for the female 10 shekels. And if a child is from a month up to 5 years old, then your valuation shall be for the males 5 shekels of silver and for the females 3 shekels. And if the person is from 60 years old and above, if it be a male, then your valuation shall be 15 shekels and for the female 10 shekels. But if the man is too poor to pay your valuation, then he shall be set before the priest, and the priest shall value him according to the ability of him who vowed, shall the priest value him. If it is a beast of which men offer an offering to the Lord, all that any man gives of such to the Lord shall be holy. He shall not replace it or exchange it, a good for a bad, or a bad for a good. And if he makes any exchange of a beast for a beast, then both the original offering and that exchange for it shall be holy. If it is an unclean animal, such as is not offered as an offering to the Lord, he shall bring the animal before the priest. And the priest shall value it, whether it be good or bad, as you, the priest, value it, so shall it be. But if he wishes to redeem it, he shall add a fifth to your valuation. If a man dedicates his house to be sacred to the Lord, the priest shall appraise it, whether it be good or bad. As the priest appraises it, so shall it stand. If he who dedicates his house wants to redeem it, he shall add a fifth of your valuation to it, and it shall be his. And if a man shall dedicate to the Lord some part of a field of his possession, then your valuation shall be according to the seed required for it. A sowing of a homer of barley shall be valued at 50 shekels of silver. If he dedicates his field during the year of Jubilee, it shall stand according to your full valuation. But if he dedicates his field after the Jubilee, then the priest shall count the money value in proportion to the years that remain until the year of Jubilee, and it shall be deducted from your valuation. If he who dedicates the field wishes to redeem it, then he shall add a fifth of the money of your appraisal to it, and it shall remain his. But if he does not want to redeem the field, or if he has sold it to another man, it shall not be redeemed any more. But the field, when it is released in the Jubilee, shall be holy to the Lord, as a field devoted to God or destruction. The priest shall have possession of it. And if a man dedicates to the Lord a field he has bought, which is not of the fields of his ancestral possession, the priest shall compute the amount of your valuation for it up to the year of Jubilee. The man shall give that amount on that day as a holy thing to the Lord. In the year of Jubilee, the field shall return to him of whom it was bought, to him whom the land belonged, as his ancestral inheritance. And all your valuations shall be according to the sanctuary shekel. 20 gerahs shall make a shekel. But the firstling of the animal, since a firstling belongs to the Lord, no man may dedicate, whether it be ox or sheep. It is the Lord's already. If it be of an unclean animal, the owner may redeem it according to your valuation, and shall add a fifth to it. Or, if it is not redeemed, then it shall be sold according to your valuation. But nothing that a man shall devote to the Lord of all that he has, whether of man or beast or of the field of his possession, shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy to the Lord. No one doomed to death under the claim of divine justice, who is to be completely destroyed from among men, shall be ransomed from suffering the death penalty. He shall surely be put to death. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. And if a man wants to redeem any of his tithe, he shall add a fifth to it. And all the tithe of the herd or of the flock, whatever passes under the herdsman's staff, by means of which each tenth animal, as it passes through a small door, is selected and marked, the tenth shall be holy to the Lord. The man shall not examine whether the animal is good or bad, nor shall he exchange it. If he does exchange it, then both it and the animal substituted for it shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses on Mount Sinai for the Israelites. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. As we come to the close of the book of Leviticus, we find in chapter 26 promises for this promised land and also warnings. And these warnings are given to God's people in the event that they should walk away from the Lord and all the things that will befall them when they make that decision to turn their backs on God. And at the same time, in the beginning of 26, we see all the promises of blessing that God will give to those who would set their face toward the Lord and desire to follow Him. The scripture tells us in the promise department that there would be blessings of rain in due season, that the land would yield increase and the trees of the field would yield their fruit, and there will be bread to the full, and you'll dwell in safety and dwell in your land securely, and your enemies will not be harassing you, but instead you're going to harass your enemies and chase them out. And we see this amazing promise of favor of God over God's people if they will follow Him. And then it is followed up in the next verses with, if you decide to walk away from me, if you spurn and despise my statutes, and if your soul despises and rejects my ordinances, so that you don't do all my commandments, but you break my covenant, then it begins a long list of what will happen to the people. The Lord says that trouble's going to come. Pestilence, sickness, disease will come, that literally the heavens will become like iron, yielding no answers from God, no blessing from God, and no rain for the land, and the earth will become barren. So we see like a promise of famine coming to the land. And it goes on that wild beasts will start attacking the land and kill the children and destroy the livestock if the people continue to walk contrary to the Lord. And then there's the warning of violence coming to them from the enemies and more pestilence and literal famine happening in the area where food is so scarce that there will be just great hunger in the land, to the point where even cannibalism will occur because of total lack of food. And these warnings of desolation to the land of Israel literally came to pass, and you will see it as we continue in reading, because the people of Israel, as they go into the promised land, and they end up turning their backs on God, they end up worshiping idols, they end up being influenced by the lands around them and the cultures around them, they end up turning completely away from the Lord, and the result is destruction for them, desolation. They end up being taken captives. This word in verse 33 of chapter 26 is a prophetic statement by the Lord. He says, I'll scatter you among the nations, and your land will be desolate, and your cities a waste. And as we progress through the Bible, we will see periods of history when this is exactly what happens, when the Israelites go into captivity into Assyria, and then a different time when they go into captivity into Babylon, and the land is literally laid waste and desolate, and the people are in captivity in foreign lands. And so we see that these words of warning that are given in Leviticus end up being fulfilled. So it's both a prophetic statement here in Leviticus of what is going to come because the people of Israel turn their backs on the Lord. But an interesting thing is said toward the end of chapter 26 when it says that, and yet for all of that, I will not spurn and cast them away, neither will I despise and abhor them to destroy them utterly and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. But I will remember the covenant with their forefathers. So God says, even though the people of Israel break covenant with God, God, who's not a covenant breaker, will remember the covenant that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he will end up bringing them back into the land and restoring them. So it's an amazing chapter because it promises blessing to people who will follow the Lord, but it also gives warnings and prophetic insight into what happens when the land or the nation of Israel turns away from God. Now, we know that all of this is a spiritual picture for us as New Testament Christians. These things actually occurred with the nation of Israel and are still actually occurring with the nation of Israel. And we know that part of this prophetic statement of the Israelites being scattered into foreign nations occurred, and that in 1948, purely by the grace of God, the Lord remembered the land as he promises here. And there's many other prophetic chapters and verses that we will come to that prophesy a regathering of all the scattered Israelites or Jews in the world coming back and reestablishing the nation of Israel as it actually occurred when Israel was established as a nation, when a nation was born in a day, as the scripture says, in 1948. And so today we have on the map the nation of Israel once again. And it is because of fulfillment of biblical prophecy for sure. But what is this whole chapter and this final chapter in 27 of Leviticus? What do these two chapters speak to us as New Testament believers? One, that it is impossible for human beings to keep the laws of God. The entire book of Leviticus is about how to worship a holy God and how an unholy people can't even approach God without the shedding of blood of a sacrifice to allow them to come close to the Lord. So all of the Old Testament speaks of the impossibility for a human being to walk perfectly before God and how we need an intermediary or an intercessor between us and God to bring us back into reconciled relationship with God. And here in Leviticus, we find that those who break the law end up receiving consequences that are very sad, very devastating, very destructive to their lives. Sickness, disease, separation from God, trouble with enemies, all kinds of things. Poverty because of famine and no prosperity because of all of this turning away from God. There's no blessing coming from God to a person who turns their back on God. Well, that would apply to every single human being because none of us can keep God's law perfectly. But for us who have put our trust in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his blood, his cleansing power, his power to deliver us out of bondage and bring us into the kingdom of God's dear Son and put us in right standing with God, then we can take hold of the promised blessing of walking with God. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments to do them, which we do by the grace of God, not because of our own perfect perfection of being able to perform them, but because we're in right standing through Jesus, the Lord promises blessing. I'll give you rain in due season. Your land will increase. You'll have fruitfulness. You'll eat bread to the full. You'll dwell in your land securely. I'll give you peace. You'll lie down and no one will make you be full of dread or make you afraid. And so there's this blessing for the person who walks in the ways of God, for peace, for increase, for blessing on their lives, for the favor of God to render you fruitful and multiply you and establish you. All these are the promises that we see here in Leviticus chapter 26. And so, though these multitude of laws we've seen in Leviticus, know this, we cannot ever perfectly perform these things before the Lord, and yet it's what God requires. That's why we needed a sacrifice whose name was Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, the perfect Lamb of God, who would be able to take away the sins of the world and bring us back into fellowship with God, so that the promised blessings which the Lord longs to pour out on His people who love Him and who walk with Him can come to pass in our lives. So I want to encourage you today, if you've put your trust in Christ Jesus as the perfect sacrifice for you, for your sins, then take to heart that God Himself has great favor over your life, not because you're perfect, but because the sacrifice of Jesus was perfect, because it brought you close to the Lord. So despite all your failings and all your shortcomings, the Lord wants to bless you with His favor, with His increase, with His peace, with all of the goodness of His presence in your life. That's the message to us as New Testament believers as we come to the end of the book of Leviticus. God desires that you embrace His goodness, because the sacrifice of Jesus was enough to satisfy a holy God so that we could receive His goodness and His favor in our lives. Tell the Lord thank you for that perfect sacrifice, and thank you for your promise of peace and blessing in my life. I take hold of it today by faith, because that's the message of Leviticus to the New Testament believer. We've been brought into fellowship with God because of God's perfect sacrifice of Jesus. Have a victorious week. If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at MyEverydayBible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.